down with feelings, lusts, down with passions, down with the debased mind that tries to change the definition of what's right and wrong. We bow before the King. Amen. Well, it's great to be here with you. It's great to be worshiping with you, whether you're here in person or you're on with us live stream. Man, we are here to celebrate the King, right? We're in a series here called See the King. And we launched this series kind of running into it, learning, but right before Easter, about Jesus as Messiah King. He is the one who is promised in the Old Testament. He is the one who will rule forevermore. He is the one who brings healing and hope. This is our King, right? And then on Easter Sunday, we talked about him being the resurrected King, the King of life, the promise that we have of life forever, life eternal. Man, this is Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Everybody just say, my hope. Man, Jesus is our hope. We can lean on him, and forevermore we can have eternal life with him. Praise God for that, right? And then we talked about these last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our God as Creator King. Creator King, Jesus Christ, Creator King over it all. And we've talked about what it means to see him in the heavens and then what it is to see him in all of creation, the physical creation around us. And that's where we've been walking. Today, we're bringing a close to this series, See the King. And I just want to kind of address the opposite side. Like, what happens when we don't see him as King? What happens when we start to just lift ourselves up? And if you notice the title for today, it's When Feelings Are King. When feelings are king. Now, we're just going to keep walking through Romans 1. We went through verses last week talking about him as creator, and it just keeps on going, talking about where we need to go with our God and really what happens if we head the wrong direction, all right? So turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 24. Romans 1, starting in verse 24, and we're going to continue on to the end here. Point number one, bow before your creator. Like, recognize him as Creator God. Bow before Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings, right? Bow before your Creator, not your feelings, or the death spiral will begin. And we have to be super careful. And the world kind of wants to teach that feelings are everything. We're going to find out the exact opposite today, all right? And so bow before your Creator, not your feelings. Here we go. He starts out, he says, therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. He starts out and he says, therefore. And when we see the word therefore, we say, yeah, if you're new with us, what is the therefore there for? Like, why is it there? What's its purpose? It's a connecting word. What is it connecting us back to? And so as we start this passage out, it's saying the last passage means a ton. And if you look back real quickly at the last passage, it talks about God having eternal power and divine nature. And those are absolutely viewable as we look at creation. As we take a look at creation, there was a first original something in creation. There had to be that first something. That is our God, eternal, no beginning to him. And then power, like the vastness of creation that we look at around us, he is bigger than this. He speaks it into existence. He holds it in and sustains it with his nature and his character. This is our God, eternal power and divine nature, that on full display. And it said towards the end of the last passage, it said that there are many who would want to deny that. They'd want to suppress the truth and instead maybe exchange the glory of God for whatever is in creation and maybe even just within themselves. Because there are those who are exchanging the glory of God, suppressing the truth, missing out. Now it's talking about a little bit of the understanding of God's reaction and the cost overall. It says, therefore, because of that, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity. Now, I'm just going to say this word gave them up. It's one word in the original language, gave them up. We're going to see it three times over in the passage today, all right? And it's a super big deal because we're going to begin to see how God interacts as we demand a different king than him. God gave them up. Literally, this phrase is best understood as a legal term. It's a term where someone is allowing another headship, another king, another magistrate, if you will, to take over. And in this case, God is handing over another magistrate of evil, if you will. The phrase gave them up is kind of a negative term. And it means to allow something else to rule. And it was a huge deal. It says in the phrase right before it, they exchanged the glory of God. And they ended up choosing not God as creator, and they're walking with themselves wanting to be the definition of what's important. And as they walk that way, God gives them up to that. God literally is like, if that's where you want to head, then I'll hand you over to that. But that will begin to rule in your life. And know that. There is a massive cost in walking away from God as creator and sustainer and provider in our lives. And God handing over those who refuse to follow him, refuse to bow before him. He's just handing them over to what comes next. Their own lusts, their own wants. He gave them up to the lusts of their heart, to impurity. They're like, I long for what I want. And God's like, then I'm handing you over to that. I'm giving that over. Really, he's almost crowning those feelings and those lusts within the heart, crowning them as king and saying, then that now rules you. God giving over in that moment. This isn't a violent move on God's part. This is an allowing move. He's like, okay, you want it, then you have it. I give you over to that as king in your life, to the lusts that are raging in your heart and the impurity that comes with it. It says, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. To the dishonoring of their bodies. What turns out is when we go after dishonoring God, the next thing we do is start dishonoring around. And eventually it ends up even dishonoring self. The passage is going to get into more detail of it, and we'll take a closer look when we get to that. But dishonoring their bodies among themselves. Sin starts to run rampant. My feelings start to define. I go wherever I want, right? And it gets bad. Everybody say, that's a bad plan. Dude, it's a bad plan to be walking away saying, I'm going to walk after my own feelings and I don't really care what God thinks, right? And it does dishonor the body. In fact, I just wrote this down. Three ways we dishonor our body. Three ways we dishonor our body. Maybe good to write these down. Three ways we dishonor our body. The first one. There's going to be a couple of phrases on each of these, right? The first one, good things, wrong timing. That can be a way we dishonor our body. Good thing, wrong timing. Like, for example, we would talk about the body as being designed. Sexuality is a huge part of who we are. There's a huge part of our passion and our element. God gives that as a gift. The reality is sexuality is designed for the marriage relationship, and taking it outside of the marriage relationship, outside of that timing, can bring a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, a lot of destruction in a variety of ways. Man, just so we're super clear, a good thing like sexuality in the wrong timing can absolutely bring a dishonoring of the body and a hurt to the soul, all right? So that's one, good things, wrong timing. Here's another one, good things, too much. Good things, just too much. You know, for an easy example, you may think of food, right? And we're like, that was awesome. And you're like, what'd you have? And you're like, cheesecake. And you're like, good. Was it good? And you're like, man, I had four pieces. I feel sick as a dog, right? We start out with a good thing, and then we just keep bringing it on and almost can't say no until we feel absolutely sick. A good thing, but too much. And you can put that into so many fronts. Food is just the easy one. We can easily all identify with a draw, but we let any good thing start to over demand in our lives. And all of a sudden we're really dishonoring our own body. good things, wrong timing, good things, too much, and maybe, here's the last one, just bad things. Bad things. There are times where we just choose to get involved in something we should have nothing to do with as humanity, and we have to be careful with that. Man, whether it is harming another person, right? That's just always, right? That's a bad thing to go in with this plan of I'm going to murder, I'm going to tear down. Maybe even I'm going to hurt myself, self-harm stuff going on. And there's just things that we start getting into that we should just not be in. Theft. I'm just going to go take that. I want that. Like, it's just wrong, period, right? And we have to be careful with that. There are things we can get involved in that may be good, and they're just the wrong timing. They may be good, and there's just too much. Or they may just be outright bad. So good things, right time, right amount. Otherwise, we're dishonoring the body. And all of God's people said. Okay. He said, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They got into this by exchanging the truth of God, the truth that he is eternal, that he is powerful, that he's in charge, but maybe even more, the truth that we need him. He is our hope. He is our savior. He is our king. Man, there's a lot of negative statements in the passage today, if you will. But know this, we have a God who brings hope. His name is Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, to deny that truth, that we have a king who loves us, who died for us and rose again, who's ready to cover our sin, to deny the truth that it is all powerful, almighty, he is our God. And instead we try to walk away from it to a lie. Like, I can exist apart from you, God. That's a lie. I don't need you. That's a lie. Like, we have to be really careful. The simple statements of life that start walking me away from the Creator King. I just wrote this as a summary. We are not self-sufficient. We are not self-satisfying. We need our King. Okay? May God get all the glory. It says, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. There are many in this world who choose to walk away from the creator God and all that is shown about him and say, nah, I'm going to go after creation as somehow more important. Usually just me. I'm going to make it about me. But somehow about creation and the creature is going to be lifted up higher than the creator. This is man over God. That's the plan. I'm just going to start worshiping me or worshiping another in some way, and I put man over God. Everybody say, that's a terrible plan. I agree with you. He's like, right? It just unwinds, and it can get bad. And remember, all of this is they started by saying no to God as creator. And so God hands them over to the lusts that are beginning to well up within. He is allowing them to have this take over in their life. He's handed over a new magistrate now of evil in their life. And it says, they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Our God is blessed. Whether we choose to see it or not, our God is awesome. Whether we choose to recognize it or not, it doesn't change. He is stunning in all that he is. And our God takes that stunning, awesome, beautiful, perfect nature and he pours it into our lives. If we trust in him, if we believe in him, if he is our Savior and King, know this, we can have hope in him. May God get all the praise. And all of God's people said, he's like, make sure you make it about the creature or the creator, not the creature. He says here that we can have hope in his goodness. We can have hope in his blessing forever. Praise be to God. You know, if you dig into the Bible at all, you get into the Old Testament, there's some stories that go on about Israel. And quite frankly, most of the time that Israel is the main line, they make some pretty bad decisions, right? And the reality is one of them that took place is when Israel, the nation, was getting into their promised land and they were beginning to try to settle in and take over. They were trying to figure out how to go after things, and the nations around them were mocking them. They were mocking them because they were like, who's your king? And they're like, well, we don't have a human king. We've got a king who is God Almighty. He's the creator of the universe. He's our king. And the other nations around him were like, that's stupid. Like, that's dumb. You don't have a human king? Look at these guys. They can't even figure out how to lead their own people. And so they started getting mocked. This really happened. They're getting mocked. They're getting toyed with. They're getting played with. So they come to God and they're like, God, we need a human king. And he's like, you really don't? And they're like, no, we really do. And he's like, you really don't. Like, you don't want to go that way. It's going to go bad. And they're like, no, we want a human king to rule over. We don't want to be made fun of anymore by the nations around us. We want a human king. And ultimately, God gave them up and over to a human king in their life. And quite frankly, it went as bad as God said it would. Within two kings, it's already totally run amok, and the nation is split in half, and everything is going sideways. This power being put into the place of a person and the people letting their feelings and their emotions drive. And man, this is exactly what we're talking about in Romans 1. There's this demanding, I want my feelings, and ultimately it's God giving you over to that and crowning that king in your life. That's the first gave them up. He gave them up to the lusts of their heart as they exchanged the glory of God for creation. Man, are you seeing God as creator king in your life? Are you seeing Jesus as your hope? Are you trusting in your Savior? Or are you demanding that you have your way and you want a different king to be ruling in your life? Man, we got to be careful with that. May you trust in the Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He has died for us and risen again. He is our hope. And all of God's people said. Point number two. Turn back from your lusts, or your passions will continue to spiral down. Remember, God's handed you over to lust, but hear me, at any point you can stop, you can turn back. Lord, please forgive me. I'm done with this. I repent. Turn back from the lusts that have been made ruler in charge of your life at the moment by God. Turn back away, or your passions will continue to spiral down. Notice it says, for this reason, right? Because God has made the lusts the ruler of their life. For this reason now, everything's spiraling out, things getting bad. God now gives them up. Here's the second time. Everybody say that's the second time. Second time, God gave them up. So first he gives them up to lusts, and then it continues to spiral to the point where they continue on and put creature over creator. And so now he gives them up, notice, to dishonorable passions. This is like a much more driven form of the lusts. This is a deeper driving inside. The word here for passion is the Greek word pathos. It basically means that diseased portion of my soul that rages and wants. Maybe another way to say it would be it's the flesh. That's maybe a little confusing, but biblically we know that term flesh, right? That thing inside of me that just bangs and wants and must have, and it's kind of that portion of, right? This pathos, this passions is driving, and so God now gives them up to that. They're like demanding another king yet. The lust isn't enough. I got to have this whole hunger thing that's inside of me satisfied, and so God now crowns a new magistrate of evil. Can you feel the spiraling down as these wants, these feelings, these hungers inside start taking over? This passion that takes over and takes charge in huge ways, creating hungers and cravings and must-haves. And let's just describe it as a tornado that's blowing up the life, right? And it's a bad plan. Everybody say it's a bad plan. By the way, please hear me. These are now feelings run wildly amok, right? And the second statement of God giving them over. And it starts to affect every passion. Every passion starts to spin out. And, you know, we are built up of so many passions. Maybe one of the strongest passions we have is the sexual passion. And it's one area where you can see it start to spin out. There are many others, but he starts to talk of that sexual passion spinning out here, where he says, now let's be super clear, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. Let's be super clear and direct as we talk this through. Society does not agree with this passage. And we're going to be really clear about what it says and what it means, and we're going to understand it through from God's perspective. Ready? And all of God's people said, all right. It says, women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. This is saying women with women, a homosexual relationship, and this is saying that's bad. That's the end result of passion being made king of their life, and they're doing what they want. Women with women in a homosexual relationship is now not the natural. And I want to be super clear with this. The word natural there, it's used twice. It's actually a word in the Greek that is the word that means physical. The physical. It's not according to what they physically have. They're built with a body that God has gifted them, and the actions are not matching up with that physical, with that natural body. That's a really big deal, because some will try to read this passage and say homosexuality isn't wrong as long as it aligns with what you are inside. But as you've now noticed, as we've watched it twice over, the inside is what God is actually crowning as the next king that is taking it down. The feelings and the wants inside are not what's to be checked. In fact, this uses the word psychikos in the Greek. It means physical. The physical, it doesn't match the physical, the body that God has given, and they're not living according to that. What does God want? Well, Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, it says, he answered, have you not read? Now, this is Jesus talking to some Pharisees, and they're challenging him about divorce and remarriage, and it doesn't matter what the topic is, but specifically, he starts to answer the Pharisees, and he says, have you not read? Hopefully you feel a little throwdown in that. This is Jesus talking to the guys who're supposed to know it all biblically. And he's like, haven't you read? Like, don't you know? And of course they have read. So he's calling them back to what they know. He's like, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Hold on that. Male and female. There are two. Okay. Next, and he said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, man marrying woman, and you now have the marriage, one man and one woman in marriage, and the two shall become one flesh. And that is where the sexual relationship is celebrated. That's God's design. That's the design of the body. That's the way it is. Now, the reality is you can see that God is handing people over when they're like, I don't care if you're king. And he's like, then your lusts are now taken. And the lusts start raging. And he's like, then your passions now take over. What's being crowned is the raging emotions and wants that are inside. And at this point in this world right now, the world is saying these things. You need to agree with us that what we feel inside is right. Please hear me. We do not need to agree that the king that's secondarily crowned by walking away from the God of the universe is right. Amen. We do not need to agree. Amen, man. Do we hear that you feel that and want that? I hear that. And I love you and I want to care for you in the midst of the heartache. Yes, I get how hard the war can be, but please hear me. The passions and the lusts, it doesn't matter what they say. God's design, him in charge. He is creator and king. And so we sit under him, male and female, within the marriage celebration, and that's God's plan. May we not go away what is contrary to the physical. That is the call out here. Ready? And all of God's people said, the nature is what God designs and what God wants, and it's shown in what the physical body is. The redefined, you remember last week when we talked a little bit about the suppressing of the truth, and there's a resisting and then a redefining. The redefine is the nature is now not what God wants, but it's what I want inside of me. That's the redefine. And now I get to go after me and what I want, and that's going to take over. That is not the plan. God in charge, Him crowned as King. Our raging feelings, our raging wants, our raging passions do not get to redefine what is correct. And all of God's people said, pretty basic, pretty direct. He says, and the man likewise gave up natural relations with woman and were consumed with passion for one another. This is man with man in a homosexual relationship, again, staying on the same topic. Man committing shameless acts with men. Shameless meaning they're not aware of what's right and wrong from God's perspective, and as far as they see it, this is fine. My passions want it, so it's good. They're beginning to redefine what is good based on what they feel, and that is not a God-honoring decision. And all of God's people said, don't let feelings become the raging rule in life. It says, man committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. The due penalty for their error. There are many who have talked about this and said, well, I think maybe there's extra penalties that come on, or maybe this is some kind of, you know, illness that may happen if you go the wrong way. And I think they're missing it. I think the due penalty of the error is this. I demand that you're not in charge. And so God sets lusts and ultimately then passions as in charge. And that's the penalty. Just like with Israel, the penalty was that they asked for a human king. And they got it. That's the penalty. Letting feelings be king is the due penalty. Down with feelings as king. The end. That is the spiral out and the tornado of disaster that happens in a life when they're trying to walk away from the Creator. I actually read it this way. There's a theologian named Gifford, and he said, the sin against God's nature, right? Remember last week we looked at seeing God in all of the nature and defining that it's not Him, ignoring Him. The sin against God's nature, exchanging His nature, entails at its penalty sin against man's own nature. Ultimately, as they define God's nature as being, nah, I'm walking away from you, I exchange your glory. Now it says they're actually exchanging their own glory. Men with men, women with women. It's a teardown of self. Ultimately, when you tear down God, you will start to tear down yourself, and as we're going to see in the next point, and then tear down the others around you. It's a collapse. We have to be super careful and super wise as we walk it through. Please hear me. God gave them up is a super important point as He lets that now rule in their life. No, that doesn't mean it's right. It's raging and demanding, and it's taking them the wrong direction. Some of you may remember this, but back in 2013 here, we ended up having a huge tornado in November. Do you remember that? Some of you here for that? Yeah. And just a massive tornado in the area and massively destructive all over the Midwest. Huge destruction in Washington for sure. We were actually in this church service when it started to come down, and we were right before the 11 o'clock service. And it was just a few minutes before, and all of a sudden, bam, all the power goes out. And we go to emergency lighting. And then we're trying to get people in pretty quick because the winds are picking up out there. And then you could start to hear the sirens go off. And as the sirens are going off and people are running in and we're trying to get people, we got them into this space, and we had kids kind of in the middle of the kids ministry away from any glass. And as we're getting settled in here, you could hear the sirens going, the clouds are getting darker. It was getting much more ominous. And I jumped up here and I said, hey, wherever you're at, just get on your knees. Turn with each other and start praying. Just hand this place to your God. And in that moment, The tornado roaring down Cimarron Drive, that road that comes right to our parking lot, roaring down Cimarron, knocking trees out, comes roaring into the parking lot. You could hear, you know, how they talk about it being like a freight train. The freight train rumble of our roof starting to go as that tornado is coming into this parking lot right at this building. And as we are on our knees and crying out and praying to our King, he makes it take a hard left. And it goes right up north, right through the parking lot, across the highway, right into the trees across on the other side, and tears them apart. We had hundreds of cars in pretty bad shape out in the parking lot, and we were fine inside. And all of God's people said, amen, man. I'm telling you, we had a tornado within feet of this building, and God had his hand of protection on. Know this, we are never too far away from bowing and crying out to our King for hope and healing and protection. And man, if you are hearing the siren starting to go off of passions like a tornado taking off in your life, if you are seeing the damage and destruction of your wants starting to rage and it's time to get it done, on your knees, as fast as you can, God, I am handing this to you. You're in charge. I bow before the Creator, and I long to see you turn this tornado and stop it in its tracks. Please forgive me. I'm with you. And that's our battle cry. Down with feelings getting to be king. When you have a sense they're taking over, it's done. Lord, please forgive me. If you're in a spot where you have never trusted Christ and you are living with feelings raging as king, today's the day to say, Lord, I'm done. You're in charge. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying for me and rising again. You are my king. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We can bow before the Creator King. And all of God's people said, amen. How are you doing at bowing before the right King, the Creator of the universe, Jesus Christ? Or are you hearing the sirens rage? Point number three. Repent of sin, or your heart will hit rock bottom, redefining bad as good. Repent of sin, or it still spirals worse. The tornado takes over. Maybe it moves from F3 to F5 in its destructive level. Now it starts affecting the mind. It says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, for those who say, I'm not turning to God, I'm going to let the passions rage, I'm actually going to decide to call others to agree with me in this, and we're going to start living out our passions, because they didn't stop and repent and say, Lord, please forgive me. Here's the next step. It says, God gave them up. Everybody say, that's the third. Third time, God gave them up to the lusts, then God gave them up to the passions, this raging desire within that doesn't stop. And now it says God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. To a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. The mind starts to approve of it and go, no, this is good. This is a good thing. We talked about it last week, the redefining. No, you don't understand. Being true to what's inside, right? That's called allowing the feelings to be king, allowing the passions to be king. That is not the plan. Jesus Christ is king. And they're like trying to talk in the other way. It says they have a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Their reasoning mind is now blinded. The wrong seems right. And this is in every area of life, not just the sexual area. It says, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness and evil. They were filled with all manner of. What, how many manners? all. Like it starts raging in every area of life. The heart is running wild. And these social sins now start spilling out all over the place. What was a destruction of a relationship between them and God now became a destruction of themselves as they started going against their own nature. Now it starts to destroy all of society. It says, they're filled with all manner of unrighteousness and evil, everything that's against God's nature, covetousness and malice, full of envy, right? These selfish motives of the heart that are going to start spilling out all over, murder and strife and deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips and slanderers and haters of God. Can you feel the destruction? Whether in word or action, I will tear those down around me. Like it starts getting bad. It starts getting rough. You start looking at society and what's going on in our society right now. Romans 1. It is the lusts and then the passions and now the debasing of the mind, and I'm going to redefine what's right, and I'll tear down with any words I can, and I'll hurt in whatever way I can. It says, covetousness and malice, full of envy, murder and strife, deceit, maliciousness. We'll even jump down. It says, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. I love that. Like, they're coming up with new ways to be wrong. Trying to go after as many twisted ways as possible. Disobedient to parents. Are you like, what? How did that get into that list? I thought that happened in my house daily, right? Like, look at what's going on. Once we start to separate from who's in charge, everything is listed in. By the way, yes, disobedience to parents along the way is not a God-honoring thing either, right? And we may see severity differences and impact differences, but still called out and something that we need to be doing. Parents, there's some things that are being taught today that have to do with you not disciplining your child so that there's not a proper obedience. Just be careful with all of that. You be wise to how you manage into that. Shaping your life of your child to respect you, to love your Lord, and to go after it. It's a big deal. There's a lot of topic on that I'm not going into at all right now. Just be wise, parents. Don't give in. Don't collapse down. May God get all the glory. Gently, lovingly, kindly, all that fine, but absolutely passionate about what's right and true. Ready? And all of God's people said. All right. Didn't even plan on saying that. That just came out. So there you go. Foolish and faithful and heartless and ruthless. Oh, man, all the sins now being listed out. Though they knew God's righteous decrees that those who practice such things deserve to die, they knew that there must be a God over it all, and if you practice to stand against him, deserve to die. Just so you know, that word practice is a huge deal. Everybody say it's a big deal. You may want to underline it. You may want to circle it. It's not saying they did one of these things once and then said, God, please forgive me. Not that. It's they did it, and they did it, and they did it, and they don't care, and they keep doing it, and they celebrate they're doing it, and you're darn right I'm doing this. They do it, and that's practicing. I won't set down the sin. I'll celebrate the sin. I'm absolutely in with this. That's what it's talking about. Not something cropped up in my life. I did something wrong, and then I fell on my knees and said, Lord, please forgive me. Not that. Everybody say, not that. Okay, make sure we catch up on that. That's a huge deal. This isn't saying that anybody and everyone who does even one thing wrong is now back to square one, deserves to die, and now we got to somehow work it through again. No, man, if you are saved, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you have hope eternal, life eternal, God with you forever. And we can be repentant and dropping it. But man, if you are living a life where you're like, I don't care what God says and I'll do the sin I want to do, that's a problem. Okay? He says, they not only do them, but they give approval to those that practice them. And all of God's people say 2024. That's where we're at now. You do it, and I'll lift you up. You don't do it, and I'm going to try to cancel you with all I got. just so we're super clear, we stand with the King. His name is Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Down with feelings, lusts, down with passions, down with the debased mind that tries to change the definition of what's right and wrong. We bow before the King. Lord God, I come to you and I bow down. I worship you. I give you whatever I can. Man, if you are here today and the tornado of selfishness is raging in your life, now is the time to say, please forgive me, God. I'm done with making it about me. You're in charge. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and rising. Please take over. There is always room for repentance. I bow and I worship you. Everybody just say, I worship you. May God get all the glory. This is an unbelievably clear definition of the death spiral of sin and the tornado of selfishness that begins to rage. May we not get caught into the game of trying to understand and define new rules by feelings. God has the final say. And all of God's people said, let's pray.